He is risen. Yes. We don't just say that on Easter Sunday. It turns out that the very reason the church gathers on Sunday is because every single week our risen Jesus is worth coming together and celebrating his aliveness together. And so even the Sunday after Easter, he is still risen and he is still with us. And that is worth all of our praise and all of our worship. As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, hear these words from Romans chapter 8. Who is to condemn us? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that good news or what? Let us pray together. And so, living Jesus, we remember first thing this morning the promise of Romans 8 that we have one who loves us, who sits at the right hand of the Father even now, interceding on our behalf. You know each and every person in this room, and you know the depths of our hearts. You know the things that we need the most to come to life fully in you. You know better than we know ourselves. And you right now are asking the Father to move in our lives in those very ways that will bring us to life. Thank you that you love us like that. May we surrender to whatever it is you're praying for, saying, yes, Jesus, we trust your goodness for us. We trust you because you are the one who refuses to let your love be separated from us. The one who loves us so much that you would rather lay down your life than be without us. Could we just be amazed once again at what wonderful love this is and what amazing grace you have for us. And out of our amazement, out of our place of humility and awe, could we lift up our songs of worship to you from glad and generous hearts? Could we love you back because you love us so well? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to John chapter 10, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Would you pray with me? Oh, good Shepherd Jesus, we turn to your word once again because as the sheep of your pasture, we are prone to wander. We are actually prone to listen to the voices of strangers. We are prone to go off thinking that we know the best pastures to hang out in. And we need to remember once again who you are and who you call us to be. Thank you that you are a good shepherd who would love us so much that you would speak to us and that you would lay down your life for us. And so here we are, ears, hearts open to hear from you. Would your spirit move freely in this place, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter is over. The celebration of the resurrected Jesus continues every single day, it should be. We serve a risen Savior, and he is in the world today. And I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Good Baptist here in the room. He lives. I see his hand. I hear his voice. I encounter his presence. He walks with me. He talks with me. He lives. That is what the risen Jesus does. The old hymn says it, and my life and your life proves it. He lives. And we are invited to live our lives with him, not just in heaven one day, but even right now, this day. As the very one who created life itself, and as the one who overcame death to make sure that life will always win, this same Jesus has given us this beautiful promise that we will live with him and not just live, not just exist, not just get by, not just be good enough, but he's made this promise, the giver of life himself, that he has come to give us life and abundant life at that. Abundant. Full life, joy-filled life, purpose-filled life. The one who gives abundant life lives, and he lives with us. And so the question is, are we living the abundant life that has been promised to us? It's our gift for the taking. Are we opening the gift? Are we enjoying it? We're going to spend the Sundays of April delving into this question together. What is this abundant life that Jesus has for me? And how can I live it every day? Because I don't know about you, but when I look around my own life, my own community, this world, I see way too many people. I see way too many Christians who know the risen Savior, who still seem to be just coasting through life, just kind of letting days and weeks pass by one after another with really very little joy springing up from their lives. So many people living day after day with hardly any sense of purpose, with very few dynamic encounters with the living God. Surrounded all the time by people who seem to be just letting life pass by while we scroll away or channel surf away or numb ourselves away or sleep half the day away or just wait for weekends or wait for vacations or wait for retirement, wishing for these days away while waiting for other days that we'll finally live when those days get here. And all the while, our Jesus said, I have made abundant life for you today, right now. How do we experience this gift today, right now? It helps to consider what it is that Jesus means by abundance, because our culture has lots of ideas, and some align with Jesus, many do not. So when Jesus has this promise, I've come to give you abundant life, what do you think that is? When you hear Jesus promise abundant life, what comes to your mind off the bat? What is abundant life for you? What does it mean? What do you think? You can share ideas if you want. Love, joy. Sounds like Christmas. Peace. Huh? Purpose, okay. Happiness. I like it. I like it. Huh? Sharing. Ooh, I like that. Yes, yes, yes. So before we consider what this promised abundant life is, I think it's helpful to name a few things that it is not. Number one, and a big number one, Jesus's promise of abundance is not a promise of wealth and prosperity. And many churches will tell you it is, but I'm telling you it is not. We serve a Savior who had nowhere to lay his head. Study after study actually shows that wealth alone does not bring happiness or any greater sense of fulfillment. Individuals who make the Forbes magazine's list of the 400 richest Americans, that's none of us in this room, but those who are the 400 richest Americans, they indicate, get this, the same level of happiness as the cattle herding Maasai of Kenya who live in dung huts with no electricity or running water. The 400 richest Americans, same level of happiness as people who live in dung huts. Studies on wealth and happiness show that in many countries where economic output has rapidly increased in recent years, so they're getting richer and richer, there has been no noticeable increase in the life satisfaction of the people. In fact, there's been substantial increase in those same places in depression and distrust. In general, researchers report that money consistently buys some happiness up to the point of $10,000 per capita income. So just basic living necessity. And after that point, the correlation between money and happiness all but disappears. Study after study after study says. When the Irish that were making a third as much as Americans were interviewed, they reported higher levels of satisfaction. So a third of the amount of the average American, higher satisfaction. Costa Ricans score higher on the happiness scale than Japanese. French people are more satisfied, or as satisfied with their lives as Venezuelans. You're talking about really developed countries and those trying to get developed. No difference in happiness. Past the point of very basic human needs being met, there is no correlation between money and happiness. Research has shown it for decades. The life satisfaction of pavement dwellers in India is among the lowest of all demographics. Some of the least happy people in the world, pavement dwellers in India. But these same people, their score almost doubled when they moved into a slum, at which point they had equal happiness as the average American college student. Get that. The facts are out. And even still, when Americans are asked across the board which single factor would most increase the quality of their lives, the most frequent answer that was heard was what? Money. Over and over and over again. Old myths die hard. And my friends, if that record plays in your head that says, I would be happier, I would be more fulfilled, I would finally know God's abundance if I could just get my hands on $10,000 more, $100,000 more, you are falling for the myth. Truth is, you may get that money. It may be good, maybe, I don't know. But if you get that money, I can guarantee you, you will feel just as close to or far from the abundant life with Jesus that you feel today. The money will not change that, because abundance in Jesus' eyes isn't wealth and it's not prosperity. And we know this. We really do know this. Think about in your own life of the most joy-filled people you have ever known. Think in your own life of those people that come to mind who you're like, man, that person, they embraced the gift of life. They lived it to the full. Who are they? I bet that 9 out of 10 of us right now are not thinking of the richest people that we know. Am I right? Wealth isn't a bad thing. It's just a thing. It's just a thing. But an indication of abundant life with Christ, it's not that thing. It's not that thing. What else is the abundant life not? It is not a life that is free from trials. Jesus, the good shepherd, says it himself, thieves will come, wolves will come. But when they come, the sheep will be in the hands of a good shepherd. You see, the fulfilled life isn't a life that is totally free from sickness and grief and loss and stressful days and sleepless nights. Trials come. Hard seasons come. Difficult circumstances come. It's not the absence of hard stuff that makes a life abundant, but it is the awareness of the presence of Christ with us no matter what comes. And so if you're waiting, if you're in this room and you're waiting until your marriage gets better to finally start living, Or if you're waiting until your meds kick in to finally figure out what life's going to be good for, if you're waiting until your job gets easier, if you're waiting until the attacks quit coming to finally embrace the gift of life that Jesus gives us, I tell you this, you will be waiting to live until you die. You will. Because we know how it goes. This is life. One hard thing goes away just in time for another hard thing to come. The thief comes, the thief goes. We finally got rid of that thief. Oh, but here comes the wolf. The wolf comes. That's life. Life is not easy. But here's the good news. Life doesn't have to be easy to know joy. And life doesn't have to be easy to be fulfilled. The abundant life is Jesus' gift to us today, despite what is hard today. Come what may today. What else is the abundant life not? The abundant life is not just a promise for heaven one day. No. The good shepherd offers his life for his sheep today, right now. Heaven will be great. I can't wait. We just sang about it twice, and I love the songs of heaven because that is what we are looking forward to. It's what our hearts long for. But do you know what? Life is meant to be great right now, right here, just the same. That we would get just as excited to embrace the life that Jesus has for us here as we are to see the life he has for us there. Because the abundant life is a gift this side of heaven. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And so these are some things that it is not. So what is it? What is the abundant life? We're going to take 4 weeks to answer that question. because it's important. It's one of Jesus' most beautiful promises, and we want to go deep in it. So we're going to take 4 weeks because we cannot embrace this gift of abundant life if we don't even know what it is we're looking for. And so today is really the foundation of all the other days. If we don't get this part of what the abundant life is, we will miss all the other parts too. So where do we start? First and foremost, what is it? The abundant life that this good shepherd offers to us is first and foremost a life that is intimately connected to Christ himself. Don't miss that word, intimately. Because this is the key to everything else. This is the foundation. This is the center. This is the glue. This is the insert your favorite word for the thing that holds all things together. If we miss this part of Jesus's idea of what the abundant life is, then none of the other parts are going to come together either. Because there is no fully alive life apart from a real intimate relationship with Jesus, the giver of life itself. We can exist without him, and we can just make it through the week without him. We can do all kinds of things without an intimate relationship with Jesus. We can have moments of happiness. We can have seasons of happiness. But that overwhelming sense that my life is really fulfilled, that my days, no matter what comes, bubble over with joy and hope and peace and goodness. I tell you, my friends, that is impossible without a dynamic, intimate relationship with Jesus. It is impossible. The entire Good Shepherd metaphor paints a picture of this kind of abundant life, of what Jesus most desires for us, his children. Verse 3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The way that shepherds dealt with their sheep is oftentimes they would come to the nearest village at night if they were able to get there. And in that village, there would be certain places where there were kind of communal pens where all the shepherds from the same family, the same neighborhood, they would put their sheep together in a pen, and there'd be a gatekeeper that would watch over those sheep all night long. And then early in the morning, all the shepherds would go out to that pen. The gatekeeper knew who the shepherds were, would open that gate, and the shepherd would begin to call his sheep. Most shepherds would have his own unique call on a little flute or his own little call with his tongue or something, but something that was just his call for his sheep. And as he made the call, out of all the sheep gathered together, those flocks would separate. That's my shepherd, and that's my shepherd, and that's my shepherd. That's how it works. And Jesus paints this picture that he's that kind of shepherd. This picture that every single morning he comes for us. Every morning. He stands by the gate. And he doesn't just play a song for all his sheep. It says this shepherd calls us by name. Not just, hey you, or where are my sheep at? He calls us by name, each one. You see, this image is oozing with intimacy. The shepherd getting up before the crack of dawn to go and retrieve his sheep so they can spend the entire day together. This is Jesus at our bedside first thing in the morning, ready to spend the entire day with us. A shepherd calling his sheep by name. When someone calls you by name, you feel seen, you feel known, you belong in that place. Guy and I go and eat at Burger Clay more than we probably should. It's close, it's convenient, but you know why we really go back there again and again? Because we've gone there so much that the entire staff knows our names, and they know our baby's name. And they care more about him than us. And we walk in the door, there's Miles. And they pick him up and they carry him around and they show him off and they say, Jamie, what do you want to eat? Never mind, I already know. Guy, what do you? And the whole time, it's like we're at a restaurant, but they know our names. And so we just keep going back. Every so often when we're in Silverdale, we'll go like to Red Robin or something. It's fine. But when we're in Red Robin, we're just one of 500 other people eating a cheeseburger. You ask for that second round of fries, do they ever come? Like before the check comes, they know what they're doing. You're just one of the crowd at Burger Claim. Jamie, take all this stuff. We know you. You belong here. Sometimes it's true. You just want to go where everybody knows your name. every day, Jesus calls you by name. Isn't that beautiful? He stands at the beginning of your day, says, Jamie, says your name. Come on, come on. We've got some life to live together today. Here's your shepherd. I'm here. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. When's the last time you woke up to Jesus calling your name? My friends, he's been doing it every single morning. But if the first thing we do is pick up our phone, guilty, turn on the TV, immediately get running with our agenda, we will miss hearing our name. We will miss seeing our shepherd at the gate day after day. The abundant life, it is life for folks who wake up aware of Jesus's presence that is already with them. It is the life for folks who wake up listening for that invitation that's already there to walk with him. It is for folks who wake up expectant, who wake up excited for joys of life with the good shepherd that is already in place for them that day. When's the last time you woke up like that? Jesus, what are we going to do today? I can't wait. I can't wait. I know, we know. The abundant life is waking up to Jesus, who's standing right there calling you by name. Jesus says, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They follow the shepherd because they know his voice. Do you know the voice of Jesus? It's hard to have an intimate life with him if we don't hear him when he speaks to us. Remember back in those days, long time ago, before cell phones and caller ID, when the landline would ring and you would answer it having no idea who was on the other end. Remember those days way back when? Some of those voices, just by them saying hi, you immediately knew who it was. And those were the voices of the people you knew best. That was your family. That was your friends. That was the people you spent the most time with. And then there was always the voices of strangers. You had no idea who it was until they introduced themselves, usually a telemarketer. Back then, we didn't know not to answer it. The most awkward, remember, was when you picked it up and someone just started talking as if you should know who they were and you had no idea whose voice was talking to you. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They will not listen to strangers because they don't know their voices. Is it true? If he called us on the metaphorical phone of our lives, would we know it's him? Would he be the stranger that needs to introduce himself because we've hardly heard his voice? Or worse, would he start talking, assuming that we're close, and we'd be clueless that it was him all along? My sheep know my voice. That's intimacy. The abundant life is a life lived hearing, knowing the voice of Jesus. How can we get there? How do we get to know anyone's voices? Be with them. Be with him. The more time we spend with our Jesus, the more we learn how he speaks, the more we know what he actually likes to talk about. Quiet down. Listen to him. You know, when you've been with someone for a long time and then you come home and you say, you know, I don't think they really heard me. What causes that? Sometimes that person's just been talking too much. Or they were cutting you off when you started to share your heart. Or they were distracted the whole time you were talking to them. You can be talking and talking. You can be right there in their presence, but I don't think they really listened. I don't think they really heard a thing I said. How often do you think Jesus, at the end of the day, turns to the Father and moans, "Ah, my little sheep, I just don't think they heard me today. We were in the same vicinity, but they just didn't hear me. Maybe tomorrow will be better. My sheep hear my voice. Be with Jesus. Quiet down in his presence. Listen to his heart." When's the last time we did that? We just sat with Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's on your heart? I'm all ears. I'm just going to sit here until you show me in my heart what's on your heart." When's the last time we did that? If it's not all the time, we will miss hearing his voice many times. And missing that, we will miss the gift of intimacy with our Jesus. And missing that gift of intimacy, we will miss the abundance that is ours to know. Did you notice how the good shepherd leads his sheep? Did you notice that? Anybody? He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow. And it's true. That's just how shepherds lead sheep today. When Guy and I were in Spain, we walked across an area where we ran into several shepherds. And it was just the craziest thing you ever saw. This one guy just walking down the road with his little staff and 100 sheep behind him just following. There was no people there prodding them and poking them and making them stay in line. They just were following their shepherd. It's how they do it. They're not in the back of the herd. They're not intimidating. They're not shouting at those sheep. They just go in front and just start walking, and the sheep follow. How does that work? Why aren't the sheep running in every which direction? Because these sheep have come to trust the shepherd. Each time they follow him, they realize they end up in green pastures where they can eat. And when they follow him, they end up beside still waters where they can drink. And all their time with him, this shepherd hasn't yet led them over a cliff or into a den of wolves. Their shepherd, morning after morning, comes to get them, and day after day leads them into pastures of goodness and mercy. And so they will follow him again this morning, trusting in his faithfulness again and again. This is what Jesus says he does for us. He's that kind of shepherd. My friends, here's the thing with our God. He will not force us to choose him today. He will not prod us and poke us from behind to make us do life with him. He'll just call you by name and start walking. He'll just invite us to trust that what's ahead with him is actually the best life that we could possibly live today. And he'll give us the choice. We can ignore the call. We can stay asleep in the pen. We can go our own way, thinking our pasture is better, and he will let us, because he leads from the front, not from the back. But if you dare trust the God whose goodness and mercy has followed you all of the days of your life up to this day, if you choose to let him lead you wherever he wants to go today, wherever he wants to go today, I have a hunch, I have a very strong hunch that an abundantly good day you will have. 7 days of that in a row, an abundantly good week you'll have. 30 of those in a row, you get it, right? Yeah. You see, it's a trust relationship, and it's built up over many mornings of walking with the good shepherd, of letting him lead, of surrendering control. That is intimacy at its finest. Is that how you walk with Jesus? Does he lead the way? It's the abundant life. Finally, Jesus says, "I know my own. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." Is there anything we long for more than to be known and to be loved? Is there anything Jesus wants more than to be known and to be loved too? He's given us this incredible gift. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our deepest secrets. He knows our thoughts right now, so make sure they're good thoughts. He knows our personality quirks. He knows our insecurities. He knows the parts of us that we shine in the light, and he knows the parts of us that we hide in the dark. He knows us through and through and through, and he loves every part of our being. What a gift, being known and being loved like that. We cannot be fully loved if we are not fully known. And Jesus gives us both. And here's the deal. Jesus says his sheep will know and love him like that too. The abundant life is a life of knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him, not just knowing him like we know a celebrity. I read that biography of Prince Harry. I watched The Crown the last few years, and I got into the royal family. They're very interesting. And so I read Harry's biography. I could tell you so many things about Prince Harry. You know, more than you want to know about his childhood, his adolescence, about his relationships, the one with Meghan, all the drama. I could tell you everything. But if I walked in a room right now and Harry was here, he had no clue who I am. And I don't really know Harry. I don't know what he had for dinner last night. I don't know what's on his heart today. I don't know what he lost sleep over most recently. I don't really know Harry, but I know a whole lot about Harry. And Jesus says, you will know me as I know my Father. You won't just know about me. My sheep will really, really know me like we know our spouse, like we know our child, like we know our best friend. This is intimate knowing. And that comes from a real relationship with him. Do you know Jesus like that? The abundant life belongs to those who dare to know Jesus, not just about him, but to really know him. I've come to give them life, abundant, joy-filled life. Who are the ones that get this promised life? The ones who hear his voice, the ones who really listen to him, the ones who wake up to his presence, the ones who trust him enough to let him lead. Those who are on an everyday journey of knowing him more. There is no real living without really living with Jesus. There is no abundant life without an intimate, dynamic relationship with the Good Shepherd. And we can embrace that life today. You want it? Who needs more money when we can have more Jesus? I say, just give me more Jesus. Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, you could have used so many metaphors to describe who you are and who you are to us. And that you chose a good shepherd. Holy smokes, what beauty there is in that picture of a God intimate, getting his hands dirty on behalf of his flock. A God present, a God active, a God who moves out of love and kindness. Thank you that you invite us into the most intimate of relationships with you. Wherever we are today, could we just take one step to go a little deeper, to receive that gift of the abundant life that is found in life with you a little bit more. And then tomorrow a little bit more, and the next day a little bit more, until we are just drenched in this abundant life, this closeness with our Jesus. We ask it in your most precious name. Amen.